happy hour in town. Find them at legendsoflafayette.com. Here's your 103.7 The Game weather update.
Your Thursday gets off to a warm start with current temperatures in the mid to high 60s. The high today is expected around 72 degrees, and we do have a 40% chance of scattered showers throughout Acadiana.
Now that football is done, March Madness is around the corner, and J.P. Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia, and 103.7 The Game want you to experience it up close and personal. You and three friends can win a four-day, three-night trip to New Orleans for the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Basketball Tournament. Here's what you win. Tickets and parking to the men's tournament sessions. A three-night stay at the Country Inn and Suites, conveniently located in Metairie and across the street from the Lakeside Mall. Plus, tourney merchandise gift cards, an Acme Oyster House gift card, and passes to the Audubon Zoo. The only way to win the four-day, three-night trip to New Orleans to see the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Basketball Tournament, powered by J.P. Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia, and see if the Cajuns go dancing in March, is to register in the clubhouse on 1037thegame.com. It's the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Tournament Giveaway, powered by J.P. Thibodeau, Honda, Nissan, Kia, and Acadiana's number one rated sports talk station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, we are Acadiana's sports station, 1037 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't
stepped on your locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parts III.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it. Yeah, we have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
One more than any other team. And Menzel's under pressure, and he is dropped.
Good morning, Acadiana. This is Raymond Parts III, your host for Rap Game with RP3, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios. Give us a call today on the Arco Equipment Hotline, as always, 337-706-0111. But that sound that we led off the show with, ladies and gentlemen, on this Fast and Furious edition of the Rap Game was one and only the final play of the John Football. Johnny Football.
And any other team. And Menzel's under pressure, and he is dropped.
That's right. The final play of Johnny Manziel's illustrious career in the CFL was a sack. John Football is now, reports have that Johnny Football is out of the CFL. They released the Montreal Alouettes, have released quarterback Johnny Manziel. This broke yesterday evening. And this is what the Alouettes said about John Football. The Montreal Alouettes have been directed by the CFL to terminate the player contract of international quarterback. I love how they make Johnny international. International quarterback Johnny Manziel, after it was found that he had broken the agreement.
Okay, good job. Yeah, I think it's contravened.
Contravened?
I don't know, though. I like the way you went.
I didn't go to a good enough school to figure out that word.
We'll allow it.
Thank you. Which made him eligible to play in the league. We're disappointed by this turn of events. Johnny was provided a great deal of support by our organization in collaboration with the CFL, but he's been unable to abide by the terms of his agreement, declared General Manager Kavis Reed. Further quote, we worked with the league and presented alternatives to Johnny, who was unwilling to proceed. So, this is Johnny's CFL stats. Now, remember, he did not start off with Montreal. He was traded to Montreal. The Alouettes traded not one, but two first-round picks for Johnny Manziel. He was around Montreal for half a season. This is what he gave the Alouettes. 8 starts, a 2-6 overall record, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, completed 64% of his passes, and had a quarterback rating of, wait for it, 80.6. So Manziel has flamed out of the NFL in spectacular fashion. Now he's flamed out of the CFL, and he's looking for work. But where is he going to go? Could he end up in the AAF, the Alliance, which we're big fans of here on the Rap Game with RP3? Could he be going to the San Antonio Commanders? Because you know the AAF, Cody, has no rules about players' past criminal records. So, not an issue. Or is this the quarterback that Vince McMahon and the new... Is he bound for the XFL? Was there ever a player?
Oh, please.
Was there ever a player more suited, better created? Like, you couldn't create a better player for the XFL in a lab if you tried.
This is the XFL!
John Football. Where does he go now? The former Heisman Trophy winner, the money sign, the man who hangs out with the king of all bros, Rob Gronkowski. On yachts or on boats, party barges, whatever they like to do when they hang out together. And here's the other thing, in all seriousness, what did he do to violate his deal? I mean, we don't know what the terms and the stipulations were, but could have been, in all seriousness, a substance abuse issue, could have been a curfew issue, could have been simply he liked an Instagram post by his buddy Rob Gronkowski where Gronk is living the best life possible. We don't know, but we're going to dive more into that right now because we're going to head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline, and we're going to welcome on our good friend. We're going to talk about a plethora of things with him, as always. He's the senior columnist for Saturday Down South. It's the one and only Connor O'Gara. Connor, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to get excited for Johnny Football going viral in, like, I don't know, the next 5 minutes in the Alliance of American Football. That's probably about how long it'll take, right?
Right. Like, he can't. This guy is not going to. Like, someone's going to pounce on this guy, right? I mean, just for the name recognition alone, and they can sell it as the redemption story. Yes, Johnny flamed out. Yes, Johnny had his issues off the field. I can see the montage now. As quick as the Memphis Express put together that montage of Zach Menberger's second half highlights when he was named the starter, they could do this whole thing with Manziel. Flames out in the CFL. But here's his final chance, his final shot at glory. Do you think it's going to be the Alliance, Connor, or do you think the man who was tailor-made, born to play in the new XFL? Where do you think Johnny Manziel is going to end up, brother?
No, I think he's going to end up in the Alliance. I think it makes almost too much sense. I mean, I think the league right now, if you are just looking at the league as a whole, while we are believers in the league and what it can become, you're sitting there looking at the second half of the season and going, all right, we know March Madness is around the corner. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, they're all coming up. Even, you know, if you want to get into, not sure, I think the Masters, too, would coincide with Alliance of American Football playoffs. But the second half of the season where you're going to have to generate some buzz, like some of these early stories that have been written early on about guys like Trent Richardson and, you know, these guys who have had these nice, like, kind of comeback stories, you need a little jolt of life into the league. And Johnny Manziel wants to play football on American soil with American rules, with a system that he's familiar with. And if he's going to have the chance to do that, I have to think he would pounce. And there's something else to be said for playing your games on NFL Network or on CBS or something, as opposed to, like, you know, up there in Canada and people having to stream your games. There's only a certain amount of people are going to want to do that. Manziel makes a lot of sense for this league. And let's be honest, the face of the league right now is Steve Spurrier. And I love Steve Spurrier, and I think he is so perfect for it. But you need some player recognizability, and wherever Manziel goes, even if it's not San Antonio, which, by the way, is 1-2, could probably use a little bit of offensive help, I think he would be a seller of tickets from a marketing standpoint. There's a lot to get behind there. It almost makes too much sense, and I'm wondering what could possibly make it not happen.
The only thing that I can think of, Connor, is that the reason why the CFL, because this was not a Montreal decision. This was the CFL had stepped in because that was the terms of his contract when he entered the league, that they could determine whether or not, you know, some of the policies were put in place by the actual league, which is interesting in itself. The only thing that I can think of that would make a team be hesitant if something was immensely serious in the violation that he did up there. But we're not going to know unless it gets leaked out. But that's the only thing that I could see. I agree with you. With the exception of your biggest stars so far are Trent Richardson and Steve Spurrier, okay? And the Richardson story is a great one, and you're seeing it being trended nationally now and him trying to get back into the NFL. But you're right. This league needs stars. And if you're one of these teams, whether you're San Antonio or you're Atlanta, who's winless, you want to sell tickets. You want to get eyes, and you want to get people to tune in. And even with everything that's happened with Johnny, him flaming out with the Cleveland Browns, him flaming out in the CFL, he's still a big name, and people are still intrigued by Johnny Manziel. And that alone is going to warrant him probably to be signed by a team in the Alliance.
Yeah, so along those lines of, you know, because I think we're all kind of wondering, all right, what does the contravened thing mean? Like, how serious can it be? And there's actually a USA Today story that was done a little over a year ago when Manziel was first getting going in the CFL. And while those terms are in the stipulations in his contract were private, he did say that some of the requirements of him would be mandatory doctor visits. He had required lithium tests every month, and that he had to visit a therapist once a week. So if we're talking about violating one of those terms, or if they just found out that he hadn't done, you know, a doctor visit in a couple of months, maybe they just said, you know what, we're just going to cut bait with this. We're not going to roll the dice. We're not going to take any more chances, and that is a violation of his contract. Or maybe it's something like Manziel was talking to a bunch of other leagues about getting out of his contract, and they're just like, you know what, we don't feel like we want to wait around on this. So it could be a variety of different things that I don't want to assume. Obviously, with his past, it's natural to assume the worst. But it could be a variety of things. So if it is something as simple as that, it makes all the more sense for the Alliance to want to jump on this opportunity to say, hey, this is somebody who, you know, Johnny Manziel isn't playing in a stadium with 10,000 people. I can guarantee you that. Wherever he goes, even if it's, you know, in Arizona where he doesn't necessarily have the, you know, the friendliness of College Station being somewhat close, you know, he is going to sell tickets. So I just think that from every area that you look at this, it really does make a lot of sense.
And maybe he got released from his contract from the CFL because he doesn't like to chug maple syrup. Maybe that could be a possibility.
True. Good point. Really good point.
Let's stay with the Alliance, Connor. We're going to get to your piece that you wrote on the LSU football team here in a minute. But the Alliance, you know, we're a few weeks in. Memphis makes a quarterback change. We kind of hinted at it last week when you and I spoke, but now they made it official. Mehdi B., who were, you know, obviously we're big fans of down here in Louisiana, Mettenberg, comes in, and he definitely gave the team a boost, and he looked like he knew how to run that offense far better than Christian did, you know, moving forward. And now he has a big opportunity, been named the starter. Mike Singletary has made that decision moving forward that Menberg's made become the starter. Question, do you think Zach's going to keep up that pace and that, you know, this is going to be a good fit for him there in the Memphis Express? And what do you make of Hackenberg, and do you think his football career is done?
First on Mettenberger, you know, I tend to say no. I mean, he has just had such an up-and-down career, somebody that has been is obviously immensely talented, but just has never seemed to be able to put it all together. We would see it in flashes, you know, from his days at LSU. And then, you know, he actually, I think, you know, all things considered, he hung around in the NFL a little bit longer than people were expecting. I mean, usually guys pick in the sixth round or something like that aren't on an active NFL roster 3 years later. I think that actually kind of bucks the trend, but this is somebody who's just been so up and down in his career that it's tough to get on board with the idea that he's all of a sudden just going to be consistent. And I saw the New York Post did a story about how he could take the league by storm and all that. And yeah, I mean, it's a fun story for now, and it's one of those things where the grass is always greener with the backup, but I'm very skeptical. So I'll say that about Mettenberger. And then with Hackenberg, like we talked about last week, I just think that he's scarred at this point. He's damaged goods, and it's sad to see it because he was built in to be this savior at Penn State, somebody who stayed committed to that program despite all the sanctions and what it went through. And when you have the freshman season that he does, you obviously think, okay, this five-star kid is going to be the real deal. And people were thinking that he could be potential number one overall pick. And, you know, I just think that a lot of his weaknesses and, you know, were exposed in a variety of ways. But, you know, I saw a lot of people that have been saying that Hackenberg is kind of a victim of the camp circuit. A lot of guys really prepping him up and for the job that he did playing in very controlled environments. And you can't control playing Big Ten football or playing in the NFL or even playing in the Alliance. I mean, you have to be able to dissect a pass rush and you have to be able to read defenses. And, you know, certain guys deal with that better than others. And Hackenberg's story is just a good reminder of, even though you can be immensely talented and you can look so good in all these showcases, you still have to have it between the ears when that whistle blows. And if you don't, you're going to get exposed. And that's kind of been the tough reality of watching Hackenberg. It's sad. It just kind of bums me out. Somebody who 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we're talking about as a future NFL starter, and, you know, he is already at this point in his career, and I do think that his days of being a quarterback are over.
We're talking to Connor O'Gara of Saturday Down South. He's a senior featured columnist. Connor, I want to talk about a piece that you had posted on SaturdayDownSouth.com over the weekend. I found it to be quite a good read, is that you're buying what the LSU offense is selling in 2019, and you should too, is what you tweeted out, brother. Tell us what you think about the LSU offense and why we should be buying it for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, I just think last year, if you just kind of go back to what the identity of this offense was last year, and we're trying to figure out what's LSU going to look like with arguably the most mysterious backfield that we've seen at LSU in probably a decade, and the receivers are all young and inexperienced, and we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. Is Miles Brennan going to be the guy? And then they bring in Joe Burrow, and they lose two quarterbacks via transfer, and then they didn't sign a quarterback in that class. And the quarterback situation was fascinating on a variety of levels because you had Burrow, like, trying to learn Steve Ensminger's system on such a short period of time. But the depth chart, there probably wasn't enough made about that nationally, about the limitations that Steve Ensminger probably felt like he had with how limited the depth chart was, and that Miles Brennan was pretty much injured all year and then wanted to hold on to the red shirt with him. And you weren't going to run Joe Burrow like you typically would and taking some of these downfield shots. Like, I thought that there were times, maybe like if you go to the Florida game, where they were just a little bit more conservative than they would have been had they had a full depth chart at the position. And I just think that this year, with that stipulation gone and with another year in Ensminger's system, you bring in a guy like Joe Brady, who's very, very highly regarded at the NFL level, and they're expecting him to kind of modernize that offense with the RPOs. Joe Burrow is more than capable, and I think that the group that's around him, you know, Foster Moreau, obviously a piece that you liked very much, Nick Brissett, extremely talented, but there is still a lot of talent on that offense. And I just think that, all things considered, for that group to finish 37th in the country last year bodes really well for this group this year. And if they don't have seven different offensive line combinations starting, and if that group can just stay moderately healthy, then I think that bodes really well for what they want to do. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a top 20 offense next year. And I know that we fall in love with the LSU offense time and time again, but I just think that Burrow is different than anybody that they've had at quarterback really in the last, you know, during this decade. He might not be the most talented, but I think he's the most capable, and I think that they are due for an increase in offensive production from and especially just on a week-to-week basis. I think that's where we're going to see the biggest difference with this LSU football team in 2019.
Connor, you said that, and we've talked about that LSU offense with them, and you could see that they started to get better as the season progressed. And once again, you know, he's thrown in there over the summer. He's learning the offense. I agree with you. I think they'll be better. I think those wide receivers, now that they have a year under their belt, they'll be better. The biggest question mark for us, and we saw it all year, they could not protect him. They struggled with the pass rush. If they can somehow figure out that pass rush issue and have those tackles be healthy and play better, I agree with you. I think they could be a They could be a team that could be into the college football playoff, but they have to figure out that pass rush.
No doubt. And that was the big weakness. If you look at the games that they struggled, the teams like Florida, like Alabama, and even like Mississippi State, which the offense, you know, the LSU offense really struggled against them, all of those teams had something in common. They had elite edge rushers who could flat out get after the quarterback, and they could dominate LSU's tackles. It was the obvious point of weakness with that group last year, and it'll be the obvious need for improvement this year, because when those tackles aren't performing well, man, Joe Burrow, especially the Florida game, it felt like he had backside pressure every single third down, and it was just brutal to watch. And even though he is mobile, there's only so much you can do if you're getting pinched in from both sides like that. So, I mean, I do expect that area to improve, and I think that Joe Burrow is going to benefit from it. He's just going to be able to do a variety of things in this offense. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to be a lot more balanced than they've been in years past, and I think that as long as they can take care of that issue on the outside, which is a big if in protecting him, you know, this is an offense that's capable of doing some big things.
Connor, brother, appreciate you coming on. As always, I know you're extremely busy. Combine, the Alliance, Steve Spurrier going on a cruise ship, and you can join him if you'd like. We'll talk more about that at a later date because I know you have something to say about that. But I appreciate you making time for us, as always, Connor, and enjoy the rest of your week, brother.
For sure. You too.
Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South, talking Johnny Manziel, possibly coming to the Alliance, Mehdi B becoming the starter for the Memphis Express, and LSU offense. He's buying. Connor O'Gara's all in on the LSU offense for the 2019 season. When we come back, we'll touch on LSU baseball a little bit. Right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers.
Ricky Bobby.
Say goodbye.
Happy Gilmore.
You're going to die, clown!
Gordon Bombay.
The real Minnesota Miracle Man.
And Peter LaFleur.
You want to become a cheerleader to prove to a girl that you are not a loser? High school's changed a little bit since I was a kid.
These are sports heroes that we can all look up to. Back to the show with the host who's got a tattoo of each one. Rap Game with RP3.
And the 2-0 to the plate. Fly ball hit a long way to right field. That is way back, and out of here. Halfway up the bleachers, out in the diamond deck. And it's 5-0 LSU on Beloso's second home run of the season. Well, that was almost where he put the one in the Army game, wasn't it?
Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. That was sounds from last night's game at Alex Box Stadium. LSU easily took care of Southern, as expected, 17-4. Okay, 17-4. LSU's now 8-0 on the season. That was Cade Beloso with a home run. He had a heck of a game. He went 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs, and he had that dinger. Also of note, Antoine Duplantis, Lafayette High's own star right fielder. He was 4-for-5 at the plate with 5 RBIs. He also drew a walk. He's marching towards that record for most career hits by an SEC player. It just keeps knocking it down. Now it's down into like the 60s already, and we're only 8 games into the season. So, look, a terrific midweek game for the team. They roll into the series at Texas this weekend, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game. Friday night's game, 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock first pitch. Saturday, pregame will be 2:30, first pitch at 3. And then Sunday, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch. But the thing that I took away from yesterday's game, yesterday evening's game, Eric Walker looked pretty good out there. They're going to ease him into this. They're not going to rush him. He pitched for 2 innings, gave up no hits, no runs, no walks, struck out 3. He looked good and efficient. I like Paul Maneri's decision to bring Walker along slowly. No need to rush him. This guy's going to be your Sunday ace. Let him get reps in these midweek games until he's healthy enough and has built up the stamina and the strength to go out there and be your Sunday ace. So LSU moving forward into the weekend series on the road there in Austin. When we come back, old school wrestling talk with the one and only Brady Amon right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game.
Bird poop.
Everybody loves Raymond. And everybody loves the end of a commercial break. This must be a good moment for you. Let's get back to Rap Game with RP3. Everybody loves Raymond. And every...
Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. Just wanted to touch on a couple things before we get to our old school wrestling talk with our good friend, Brady Amon. There was some news in New Orleans Pelicans land that has gone on that I want to pass along to you guys. They released last night, I want to say during the game, okay? So during the game on the road there in Los Angeles when they were playing the Lakers, and funny enough, when Anthony Davis scored the first points of the game on the big scoreboard, they actually gave the points to the Lakers, which is funny on numerous levels. But no, the news coming out was that New Orleans waived guard Tim Frazier, who apparently was good friends with Anthony Davis. He was on the court with AD like 5 minutes before he got cut. And then it's been confirmed today that New Orleans has agreed to a 2-year deal with EuroLeague guard Darius Bertens. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. He's a shooting guard with a team option for the 1920 season. So the Pels are already making some moves. They've cut waived guard Tim Frazier, who was a backup for them off the bench, and they have agreed to a 2-year deal with a team option for EuroLeague guard Darius Bertans. So little Pels news to get in there for you. But now it's Thursday, which means it's time for some old school wrestling talk.
Old school wrestling talk with the tag team duo of RP3 and Brady.
Oh, hell yeah!
Ray is the former Demolition Fan Club president, Southeast Chapter.
The Demolition, walking disaster.
And the innovator of a devastating move called the Gator Lock. Brady is the 10-time Willow Street Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champion. And he once shook hands with One Man Gang. Time for some old school wrestling talk.
The last time the Honky Tonk Man played Boston Garden, 20,000 people were screaming for the Honky Tonk Man. 20,000 people were screaming, "We want to hear that song, Honky Tonk Man. We want to hear the number one hit single." And I didn't give it to them because I wanted to make them wait.
You teased them.
I teased them just like I teased them every time the Honky Tonk Man steps out there. I didn't give them what they wanted. Because if you give people what they want, they won't ever come back. And I want them coming back to see the Honky Tonk Man. I want them back Saturday, June the 6th in Boston Garden. Because I want them to see, and I want them to hear, the Honky Tonk Man at his finest. The Honky Tonk Man does nothing for free. Nothing. If I don't make a dollar, I don't do anything. When I lay that guitar just right on the side of his head, and when he goes down, the Honky Tonk Man will cover 1, 2, 3. That's it for the bird. The Honky Tonk Man will take the guitar, he'll strum it real slow, and he'll say, "Woo! Peggy Sue, you're all right with me."
He's just a honky-tonk man. Why are we talking about the honky-tonk man? Well, if you're an old-school wrestling fan or just even a new-school wrestling fan, you know that he is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Finally, the Honky Tonk Man, is going to be enshrined into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Friend of the station, the Honky Tonk Man.
Friend of the station of 103.7 The Game, the Honky Tonk Man. Let's head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline and bring on my co-host for the old school wrestling, the one and only Brady Amon. Brady, when you heard the news, brother, that the Honky Tonk Man was finally getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, what was your thoughts?
I was pretty excited, you know, because he was one of those guys that in the, you know, the golden era, as they call it, he was a guy that was always out there and very charismatic. He's kind of like, I say he's like a Jerry Lawler on steroids almost, you know, because he was a little bit more charismatic than Jerry. He didn't, and people loved him, you know, the crowd loved him. He had a couple runs there where he went back and forth between heel and face, but yeah, he was just one of those guys that it was always fun. His song was, you know, catchy, even though I do disagree with him. I don't know that it was ever a number one hit, but you know, who knows? I don't remember it playing on the radio back then.
A delusional heel, Brady? No, never.
But he was a great delusional heel, and obviously he was also Jerry the King Lawyer's cousin, right? So that's family. But he was a heel, but man, he was one of those beloved heels of that era, of the golden era of the WWF, where, you know, he still is the longest consecutive, Cody. We had a discussion about this the other day, Brady, by the way. I mentioned, you know, he has the longest, the Honky Tonk Man still has the record for the longest time tenure as Intercontinental Champion. And Cody chimes in with what, Cody?
The Honky Tonk Man is the longest tenured Intercontinental Champion in one reign. He held the belt for 430-something days. The Miz now, though, however, has held the Intercontinental Championship for more days total. So not in one reign did The Miz go for longer, but total number of days, The Miz is now the longest reigning Intercontinental, but not in one run.
And my response to that, as I told you the other day, is I feel like the Honky Tonk Man should, for his ceremony, should invite Miz and then bash his guitar over Miz's head and say, listen here, MTV reality show guy, you're not on my level. I'm the damn Honky Tonk Man, and you're some clown called The Miz. Go away.
Yeah.
Now,
Now
I know the two of you, y'all are going to dive more into other characters, not necessarily just Honky Tonk Man. But before y'all do that, I do want to pose a question to the both of you, because I've met Honky Tonk Man, and he has said specifically to me a few choice lines and things about Vincent Kennedy McMahon and the WWE. And he's even been quoted as saying that the WWE Hall of Fame is not something you should put any clout into. It's not something you should be proud of. It's not something you should praise. And now flip the script. Here he is. He's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm just curious what you guys think about that is, you know, because you guys know Honky Tonk Man as a character more than I do. So just curious y'all thoughts on him calling out the WWE Hall of Fame and now being a member of the Hall of Fame.
Brady, I'll take this first. I'll quickly go. Yeah. I think that is a recurring theme for most of those guys from the golden era. The majority of them do not have a good relationship with the McMahons, okay, or in particularly Vince. What I think is happening in recent years when it comes to the Hall of Fame, and I'm just speculating, I think it's Triple H, because I think Triple H has an appreciation for the history of the sport and of the WWE when it used to be, and then the WWF. I think he has an appreciation for the sport and for the wrestlers, and I think he helps soften that for these guys. I think he's your point person. I think he's the one that reaches out because he's a former multiple champion. I think he's the guy, even though he is married into the family, you know, he's married into the McMahons, I think he's the one that's brokering these deals and getting these guys to come because he has such a great relationship with the majority of the old school wrestlers. That's just my speculation. Brady, I'll let you reply.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. A lot of these guys, you know, they left WWE on bad terms or WWF, WWE on bad terms and vowed to never go back. And you can go on YouTube and see a lot of these interviews, these shoot interviews with these guys, you know, basically bashing Vince McMahon and the WWF. And I think Triple H has been that guy that's kind of bridged that gap or basically, or I guess kind of been the corporate liaison between, you know, patching up that relationship. So, yeah, I mean, you've seen that with a lot of these guys in the last few years. You know, Nick Roberts didn't have a great relationship with the WWE after he left. He embarrassed them. And then, you know, he kind of came back into their good graces. Same thing with Nash, Razor Ramon, guys like that, you know, that were part of that era that kind of fizzled out, flamed out, so to speak. And then they're able, you know, they're bringing them back in, and they need to, because that was the, you know, that was the best era of wrestling back then.
It helped put it helped make wrestling a global phenomenon at that time. And I think Triple H does have an understanding, and I also think Stephanie does too. I think even though she may be a McMahon, I think it's one of those things where those two have combined to help bridge the gap and repair those relationships and extend those olive branches. Their father could be at times a hothead, and I think Vince would fly off the handle with these guys, and he'd just come to, you know, he'd just tell them, hey, you're, you know. Yeah, because a lot of these guys felt like they were treated as garbage, like they were just thrown out to the dumpster and they were discarded. And I think Stephanie and Triple H have done a very good job of kind of repairing a lot of those relationships with that. Let's talk about that era, the golden era in particular, and that's where Honky Tonk Man comes from. That's when his and the golden era is referred to as anything from 1985 to 92. It's also in terms referred to as the cartoon era. I love it. So, you know, in 85, it really had exploded. WWF had and went from there. What do you remember most of all for me, Brady? That the cartoon era doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation for me because it was characters. I think that was the golden era of character wrestling. Everyone from Macho Man and Hogan to Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Honky Tonk Man, Jake the Snake Roberts, all those guys were part of that era. And then even later to that was The Undertaker. I mean, The Undertaker's the last guy of that golden era, and yet he
and
went
Kane.
Through.
Kane's still around.
But Kane didn't debut in that era.
No, but he's.
Well, he did. We'll talk about that. But
there are three characters left in WWE right now, and this will be the only input I can really have on this topic, because characters have gone by the wayside.
Correct.
In WWE. There's Undertaker, who is part-time, the definition of. You have Kane, who is the mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. So he's a little busy to be on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown every
week.
Big
up to Tennessee.
Right, shout out. And then you have Bray Wyatt, who hasn't been on TV since like last November or something. He's been on Twitter teasing a comeback soon, but Bray Wyatt hasn't been on TV in forever. Everybody's gimmick now. I'm a wrestler.
But I like Wyatt's. I do like that because that is a character.
It is, but he's the only.
But it's a thought out.
He's the only modern one.
But it's very much a throwback. I'm glad Cody brought that up. It's very much a kind of a throwback. But yeah, like Undertaker was the last, and then obviously Kane is a part of that. But for me, I love the characters. I did. It went from guys just being wrestlers with some gimmicks to actual thought out storylines and backgrounds, and they're from this and it all, and you know, the costumes were crazy and over the top and everything. For you, Brady, when you think about the golden era, what do you think of?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about that, I split it up obviously into two, the golden era, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Iron Sheik, those guys. And then for whatever reason, Vince McMahon, the WWF, decided to go into that cartoon era. But I think it was, at the time, they were trying to kind of change things up and maybe make it more kid-friendly. That's the only explanation I can come up with. Because, as you remember, everything became more colorful. You know, the one-man gang became Akeem the African Dream.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he was an African, you know, guy. And he wore, you know, the bright yellow clothes. You had, you know, Kane, talked about Kane. You know, I don't know if a lot of people remember, Kane started off as Isaac Yankum, a dentist.
Oh, that was his gimmick, right?
Way back in the day, and obviously that didn't work. You know, Terry Taylor came over from Mid-South. He became the Red Rooster. So, yeah, they started to do that in, I guess it was like the late 80s, early 90s. They started to make more characters out of people. And I think it was, you know, I don't know if it was because that's kind of what was selling at the time. Cartoons were really popular back then. And bright colors, you know, bright clothing, you know, old cross colors, FUBU, that kind of stuff was just starting to make its debut around the country. So I think they just kind of wanted to capitalize on that, on, you know, how that was, and started to make larger than life characters, things that really people couldn't really relate to, but it was fun to watch them, you know.
Yeah, and it was fun to watch. And I also think there's, you know, that was also the era of the managers, right? And that was part of that whole gimmick, and we've talked about the managers as well. So, Brady, let's boil this down, because I think we're going to make this a 2-week portion here. I think we can talk about the Golden Era for 2 weeks. Honky Tonk Man's going to inspire this. So let's just this week. Next week we'll focus in on our favorite guys from the Golden Era. Let's just talk about the Honky Tonk Man. Your favorite Honky Tonk Man moments from his time in the WWF.
Well, I mean, I remember a lot of them. The thing I can remember the most from him is just like you said, going back to that charisma that he had. You know, he'd come to the ring with his guitar, he'd stand out there like Elvis Presley and, you know, wiggle his hips a little bit. And you knew at some point that guitar was going to come back into play.
Jimmy Hart, too.
It was coming back at some point. And he was so good as the heel that everybody loved to hate. You know, they have those every once in a while that you just love to hate him, you know, and he just kind of had that about him, that kind of charisma, that where everybody just, when that song hit, everybody, even if you hated the guy and he was wrestling your favorite wrestler that night, you still loved him. You still enjoyed, you enjoy his match. And honestly, we'll get into the underrated wrestler thing. We keep bringing this up. We're going to talk about it. He was very underrated as a wrestler, because of the flash and all that stuff, and because of the guitar, because how he carried himself in the ring. But he was a really good wrestler. You could tell he kind of had that old-school wrestling approach to him when you watch his matches back then. So, you know, he's a very deserving of the Hall of Fame. I think it's been a long time coming for him. I think a lot of those guys from that era has been a long time coming. And I like seeing them being inducted because it's just, you know, every time that there's a new induction, I'm able to kind of relive my childhood again.
Yeah, and the thing with him is that, you know, you say he was very much an underrated wrestler. He knew how to wrestle. You know, I remember him even before WWF, back in the old NWA days, where he was coming out of Alabama and won the heavyweight championship out of there, and Southeastern Tag Team Championships with guys like Ron Starr. You know, he was an old school Mid-South NWA kind of guy, learned the ropes from that. I will remember, though, all the obviously, when he lost 64 weeks, by the way, Cody, 64 weeks is when how many times he held the Intercontinental Championship.
He took it from your boy Steamboat, though. How do you feel about that?
Yes. Yes.
Steamboat, the Intercontinental legend.
Yes. And we'll also have another segment talking about how there are times where I felt growing up watching the WWF that the Intercontinental Championship was my favorite over the big belt.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah. See, yeah. But I remember the match between him and the Ultimate Warrior. If you're talking about two guys that best represented the cartoon era of the WWF, it was that match at SummerSlam.
The very first SummerSlam.
And Honky didn't have his blue jumpsuit like he has for the action figure, which I have at home, admittedly speaking. Yeah. He wore that red one. And him and the Ultimate Warrior went after it at SummerSlam for the Intercontinental Championship, and I remember that match. I remember getting that pay per view. But yeah, the Honky Tonk Man. And look, credit. I'll say this, Brady. We'll wrap it up with this. First of all, congrats to the Honky Tonk Man, and like we said before. But I also do like this thing, and it's happened, right, Cody, in the last 3 to 4 years. There seems to be a conscious effort by the WWE to make sure to honor their guys from the 80s and the Golden Era, right? Because there does seem to be a conscious effort to make sure to mend those fences and get those guys in the Hall of Fame.
You can almost slot in your Hall of Fame entrance every year. It's going to be a tag team or a stable. Then there's going to be your huge headliner, whoever that may be. Then you get your old guy from the WWF days, the Golden Era, like y'all are calling it. And then you get your female wrestler, and then whoever wins the Warrior Award. You can almost slate that in every year now for the Hall of Fame. They're going to get one person or group from those categories.
So we already got the stable. That's the generation.
Well, they could also be considered the big headliner, DX, though. So maybe a second tag team, because the Hart Foundation's getting a little rumor mill around them as well. So we'll have to see. Each week, we'll find out.
The Hart Foundation's not in the Hall of Fame?
Not yet. Owen, it's a problem.
Not the Hart Foundation, nope.
Yeah. Owen is the big hang-up. We'll see how that all works out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ray, I'll add this real quick. I think the reason that they're doing that, they start to honor these guys, is because we're seeing it. They're dropping like flies. I hate to say it, but they are. So I like the idea that they're trying to recognize them and celebrate them while they're still alive, instead of waiting until a couple of years down the road when they're, you know, they're wife or their daughter or their son has to go out to the Hall of Fame induction. So I like that they're still doing it while these guys are still around. And, you know, some of them are still working. That's the shame of it, is that some of these guys are still touring and going to house shows and signing autographs and going to Comic Cons and doing that, because that's their life. That's how they make their
money.
Well,
I'm going to make you jealous. There is a signature right here in the studio, Brady, of the Honky Tonk Man.
You know it.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Fan, friend of the station.
I'll send
brother.
You a picture of me and him together, too, Brady, just to make you feel better.
Oh, yeah, do that for me.
Well, Brady, look, man, we'll continue this conversation on next week, brother. It's a lot to get to, so we'll definitely break down our favorite Golden Era wrestlers on next week's show. I appreciate you making time for us, as always, brother, and enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. Take care.
Brady Amon. We will wrap up the rap game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game after this break.
According to a strange doctor, out of 14,605,000 possible outcomes for this next segment of Rap Game, only one...
We're in the end game now.
...doesn't result in half of the universe being snapped out of existence. Let's get back to Ray, because I don't feel so good.
Just a reminder, guys, Astro Line returns tonight right here on 103.7 The Game, live from West Palm Beach, Florida. You're going to have Tony Kemp on there. That'll be at 9:30 to 10:30. Also tonight, LSU women's basketball at Mississippi State will be broadcast live here on the station from 6:30 to 9:30. Up next, the Jim Rome Show. I want to thank our guest, Brady Amon, Connor O'Gara. We'll have a jam-packed show for you tomorrow, guys. Y'all stay safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is